You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Bears Wire and Pro Football Focus. And Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for Chicago Bears news and analysis. And so today, we're putting a bow on Chicago Bears training camp. The team wrapped up their final, even though it was closed to the public, final training camp practice on Sunday. And now we're really into the thick of the preseason here. So today, we'll be kind of wrapping up with the biggest things we learned at Bourbonnais and just from training camp practice in general. And we'll also touch on the addition of Nyl Davis and how that affects this running back depth chart, and also the latest on what's going on with this interior offensive line, with Cody Whitehair remaining at center, James Daniels continuing to get work at center, and how this might play out as we move forward here. Let's start with the weekend's transaction with the running back Nyl Davis brought in exchange for the offensive lineman Caleb Johnson waived after a cup of coffee with the Bears during training camp. And Nyl Davis is a name that fantasy football owners might remember. He's been kind of one of those untapped potential type players. He was a third round pick by the Kansas City Chiefs back in 2013. So, of course, that should ring a bell for everyone with Matt Nagy being involved with that offense. And he stuck in Kansas City for, about 3.5 seasons, really. First couple years, he was the number 2/number 3 running back. Got some burn with, I think, behind Jamaal Charles at the time. And there was some hope and expectation, perhaps even, that he could be something greater. And I think Nyl Davis, with some of the flashes he showed, started to get some, truthers out there that thought he could be the next big thing if given the opportunity to truly be an every down back, or at least just have a bigger role. But, 2013, his rookie year, rushes for 242 yards on 70 carries, 4 touchdowns. It's 3.5 yards per carry. Took that same average into his sophomore season, but got a significantly more opportunities. 134 carries for 463 yards and 6 touchdowns, still at that 3.5 yards per carry. So never a truly magnificent efficiency type guy, but he has some fluidity and some explosiveness, and you kind of liked some of the potential for this guy, as a third round pick, again coming out of Arkansas. But head into 2015 and doesn't really find much of a role in that Chiefs offense. There was another pretty strong season for them, but Charkandrick West kind of took over that year, and Spencer Ware also emerged, and they still had an aging Jamaal Charles, but I think he got hurt that year. And that was sort of the beginning of the end for Nyl Davis with Matt Nagy's Chiefs. The next year, the Chiefs traded him to the Green Bay Packers like halfway through the year for like literally a conditional 7th round pick. And he played like a handful of games for them, and then they released him. And then the Chiefs brought him back again later on in the year just to provide more depth at the running back position. And so, he had pretty well fallen out of favor there. Goes into that 2017 offseason and joins the Pittsburgh Steelers just kind of for the offseason. Stuck with them through last preseason, but Davis didn't make their 53-man roster and really spent all of last season as a street free agent. And that, of course, lingered through the summer. And now, as the Bears wrap up their actual training camp practices, Davis joins the fray and certainly has an uphill battle to crack the rotation there. But it does call into question, adding a running back at this point, how the team feels about the other running backs on the bottom of this depth chart. I think it's fair to assume Jordan Howard, running back 1, check. Tariq Cohen, running back 2, / wide receiver, / tight end, / everything on offense. Check. Benny Cunningham, running back 3. You know, third down back, good pass protector, good, you know, good catching it out of the backfield, still a strong runner. Your top 3 running backs on this depth chart are set. So that leaves, of course, Taquan Mizell, however you want to pronounce his last name. I still haven't quite figured that out. I think I've said it 3 or 4 different ways on this podcast, but I think Adam Amin on the preseason broadcast against the Bengals said Mizell, so I'm going to try and stick with that here moving forward. And then Ryan Nall, the undrafted rookie free agent out of Oregon State. Two guys that haven't done a ton to give you a ton of confidence in them earning that 4th running back spot. And I know you're thinking, okay, but Lauren, that Ryan Nall run, yes, against the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday, he broke off a 69-yard run to the outside. It was a great play. He was able to, you know, break some space to the outside, and the Bengals kind of blew contain. But you take that one big run away from him, which I understand is not, it's not fair to take one whole run away from him. But outside of that run, he's been averaging, I want to say, 2.5 yards per carry, and Taquan Mizell also averaging exactly 2.5 yards per carry. And certainly, I'll be willing to put a lot of that on a poor backup offensive line. And across the NFL now, I think you're seeing teams just having a lot more quality defensive line depth as compared to offensive line depth. So in these preseason games, second and third string offensive line are getting pretty well outmatched and beaten by just more quality backup defensive linemen against them. So it's not a Bears exclusive or specific problem at all. But still, you know, I think with the Pro Football Focus numbers, Taquan Mizell has forced 3 missed tackles on 17 carries, and Nall has forced 1 on 16 carries. And Nall actually has yet to generate a yard after contact, according to their numbers, and Mizell has 15. So still a very small sample size with both guys under 20 carries, and I'm not ready to crown one as necessarily clearly ahead. I mean, Nall had that big, nice run, and that's always valuable for the resume and for impressing the coaching staff, but that battle is still very much up in the air. You know, I think Mizell has gotten a little bit more run in pass protection, but it hasn't been drastically different there. And Nall just generally has been on the field for more snaps, run quite a few more routes. But from an actual like pass-catching standpoint, I don't think we've seen a fairly significant difference between the two of them. Nall has 2 catches on 3 targets in the first 2 preseason games. But then you add Nile Davis in the mix here. And he's a guy that, you know, kick returning experience, something he did pretty well for the Chiefs, even as his offensive role diminished. And that's got to be his way onto the 53-man roster, if he's going to have one. And that's also something Mizell, I told you, I'm going to get that name, one of these podcasts, something that Mizell can kind of hang his hat. And Mizell's also more of a versatile receiver who can do some of the Tariq Cohen stuff, but it makes you wonder if this addition of Davis has any bearing on that, or if this is just Matt Nagy wanting to get another look at a guy he used to like coaching back with the Chiefs before he kind of fell off the map. Or, you know, Benny Cunningham is dealing with a shoulder injury, so is Davis just here for 3 weeks while the team waits for Cunningham to get back to full strength, and then they cut Davis like he's a third-string offensive lineman, like they've done with the last couple third-string offensive linemen, just to bring in these new prospects. We'll see exactly what the future is going to hold for Davis, but I wouldn't read too much into it at this point, just given how much time they've invested to keeping Taquan Mizell on this roster since last year, and they've also been giving Nall plenty of opportunities in this game and in these preseason games and in practice to really show you what they can do. I think the team is still very interested in these two younger end-of-the-bench running backs, and Davis is just another body in there to fill in for injury and to kind of see where he stands now, a few years removed from having worked with Matt Nagy before. And since we're talking about rookies and undrafted free agents here at the running back position, I wanted to make sure you know that the Locked On Podcast Network has a new NFL Draft podcast. So Locked On NFL Draft is actually currently the most listened to NFL podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network this time of year, which is incredible. So NFL Draft fans can still get Locked On NFL Draft for John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema with their daily scouting and NFL Draft takes. But the network added an additional NFL Draft podcast linking back up with Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs, who now host the Draft Dudes podcast, part of the new The Draft Network site that launched a few days ago. Now we have a pair of great in-depth NFL Draft podcasts. They come together every Friday and do a combined show, so check them out on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify to get yourselves even more NFL Draft analysis on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today on Locked On Bears, we're wrapping up Chicago Bears training camp as the team says goodbye to Bourbonnais over the weekend. And I want to move now to the one starting position, really, on anywhere on the roster that still isn't quite locked in. And of course, that's the interior of the offensive line. And, you know, the James Daniels saga here has been interesting to follow, in particular correlation with what's going on with Cody Whitehair. You know, the Bears draft James Daniels as a center out of Iowa in the second round. And of course, you wonder, is he going to play center? Is Cody Whitehair going to play left guard? And the Bears, you know, initially are pretty non-committal that both guys are going to practice both positions and they'll figure it out pretty quickly and try and get them settled in and, you know, move forward from there without having to do too much moving around. And, you know, you come to training camp and Whitehair's back at center. Daniels spent the first couple weeks playing both positions. And if I remember correctly, he was initially the second string left guard and the third string center behind Hronus Grasu as the, you know, the number two center. But then Grasu's been dealing with an injury, so then Daniels kind of took over as the number two center, and I don't recall who they filled in at that number two left guard. I want to say Jordan Morgan off the top of my head, but, you know, Daniels had been playing a lot of center and comes into that second preseason game against the Bengals after having not played in the Hall of Fame game, and he plays all center in the Hall of Fame game. So then it's like, okay, then James Daniels looks to be your starting center, right? That he'll be competing for that spot, and then in theory, Cody Whitehair is going to move over to left guard and bump Eric Kush to the bench. Okay, we got this figured out. But then this weekend, Matt Nagy kind of comes out and says, you know what? We're leaving Cody Whitehair at center. And let's see, the quote from Matt Nagy this weekend, I don't have audio available for you, but what he said was, we like where Cody is. Cody's doing a great job. If you go back to OTAs, this is what we said. We said we want to make sure we keep him honing in on that position, getting those reps. The center is like playing quarterback. If you start moving guys around at different spots, you're playing with fire, in my opinion. And so, yes, I definitely agree with Coach Nagy there. I mean, you got to give your offensive lineman a position, and you got to let him stick there. And particularly at that center spot, it is important to lock someone down. So I'm all good with leaving Cody Whitehair there and really locking him in there like they've kind of done. But then where does that leave James Daniels? Well, Nagy talked about how it's actually a three-man race for that left guard spot. Eric Kush has been working with the first team, and then there's Daniels, and they also see Earl Watford as a potential starter here in the mix for that left guard spot, which is one that caught me a little bit by surprise. I mean, he has a lot of starting experience, and so I'm not surprised in that sense, but I guess I hadn't realized how much he is potentially in the mix here. You know, Eric Kush has been the first team left guard for the majority of training camp and the preseason games, but Watford has also gotten some opportunities with the first team at left guard, and I don't believe Daniels has actually gotten any of those with the starters, but he's been working plenty with left guard at practices, even though he didn't get that opportunity in the game. So it is a three-man race here to start at left guard with Cody Whitehair more or less set. So in some sense, that's a little bit more direction than we had a few weeks ago. Certainly more direction than we had at the beginning of training camp. We know where Cody Whitehair is going to play. And good on them for keeping him in one position. But it does seem like they're doing James Daniels a little bit of a disservice, don't you think? Like, don't get me wrong. I understand you want him to have positional versatility and you want him to, you know, get some experience and understand the center position in the Bears offense. But you don't have to play him there for 45 snaps in the second preseason game and have him practice there more and then tell him, well, go compete to start at left guard, but still spend a lot of your time working at center. Like, to me, I mean, I suppose you want to put the team first, and that might be what's better for the team, but maybe what's better for the team is letting your second-round pick try and master the one position, because when you look at Daniels, Cush, and Watford, you know, I'm on record as not being a fan of Earl Watford at all. I think he is a very below-average guard. I do like Eric Cush, and I think he is a potential starting caliber player, but in theory, James Daniels is and should be the most talented of these three players. And so to have your offensive line be the most talented it can be, then you want James Daniels to be as comfortable and as up to speed as he can be to become the starter at left guard. I mean, that's just getting your five best players on the field. So yeah, I know Daniels had to play more center in these games because Grassou has been hurt with that ankle injury, but boy, you know, when you're talking about playing in preseason games, I'd rather find another center off the street. You know, they had a Jeff Allen in here. Okay, you know, if you need a center for a preseason game, I'm not going to, not necessarily jeopardize, but I'm not going to limit the development of my second-round pick at left guard just so I can have another center in a preseason game. Like, if I'm Harry Hiestand and Matt Nagy and I know Cody Whitehair is going to be my center, then I'm giving James Daniel every snap he can get at left guard, and then if there's time, you can play some center too, but left guard should be priority number one in practice and in preseason games, and it hasn't been the case. And maybe they just recently decided for sure that they want Cody Whitehair to stay at center, you know, judging by Nagy's, I guess, firm opinion in there that, oh, you can't mess around with center at all. That makes it sound like, okay, he's known for quite some time that Cody Whitehair is going to be your center. So it just doesn't quite add up to me as the smartest way to handle James Daniels so far. Maybe that means Eric Cush is in the lead and likely just going to start at left guard week one. And I hope for every Bears fan's sake that Earl Watford is not a starting offensive lineman for this team. But before too long, James Daniels will be ready to take over at left guard. And I just thought it would be better for him if they had been more focusing him to hone in on a position, to use Matt Nagy's phrase, even if it's not as critical as honing in at center. I like having that experience there for Daniels and that versatility. But after having played center during his entire college career, I think he more or less has that down. I know that there's different nuances in the NFL and different play calling and terminology for the protections and all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I really feel like you should have got this kid more experience at left guard to help him get the most prepared as possible for this season to get your five best offensive linemen on the field. So while the Bears may be trying to figure out their offensive line lineup, we've got a new lineup already locked in place for the Locked On NFL podcast. It's hosted by former scout Matt Williamson. And every Monday, he's going to be joined by a Locked On Podcast Network host for a local expert on the biggest stories in the NFL that week. Then on Tuesdays, he'll be joined by former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels. Wednesdays will be with Pro Football Focus analyst Mike Renner. And then on Thursday, he'll have ESPN reporter Mike Sando. So lots of great content coming out this season on the Locked On NFL podcast. If you're into more than just the Chicago Bears, you like keeping up with the latest and greatest from around this wonderful league of football, I highly recommend you check out what Matt Williamson is doing on Locked On NFL here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're putting a bow on Chicago Bears training camp here on Locked On Bears. The team wrapped up their time in Bourbonnais this past weekend, and so I think it's a good time here to kind of reflect on what we've learned over these last few weeks. You know, we came into training camp after that dead time of the offseason, and boy, was it a nice oasis of football. We're finally here. We're in the preseason, and some of the major question marks that we were kind of left with heading into camp, you know, they haven't all been totally answered, but we've at least got significantly more direction on where these answers might be coming from. You know, I guess the major question mark still left unanswered, of course, is Roquan Smith, but I guess in we answered the question of, will he show up to training camp? That was a no. Will he hold out? That was a yes. You know, we got some answers in the sense of what's going to happen with him, but more questions as to where that goes. Now, we also don't really have a ton of answers yet for that left guard position, but like we just talked about, we do know that Cody Whitehair is going to be locked in at center. At least that's the plan for now. We were also wondering, entering training camp, how are these weapons all going to fit together? And maybe we don't have a great feel for that yet, but I think we've started to get some answers about Kevin White, or at least we started to. You know, what are the Bears going to get from Kevin White? Well, we saw a guy who's given a lot of effort out there and contributing with the starters at times, rotating in on offense, certainly rotating a lot with the second and third teams. And you see a guy who's been motivated and dedicated at the very least. And I know we only got to see like 10 or so snaps from him in that Bengals game. He dropped that third down pass. It was bad. Couldn't have gone much worse, barring, you know, an injury or something from Kevin White. But still, too limited of a sample size to really throw everything out. And at least we can kind of get a feel now that he might be somewhere in this rotation. And he might not be a total waste of a roster space. I mean, it's not totally clear yet, but we're seeing some direction here from Kevin White. You know, we're also starting to see Anthony Miller emerge as sort of the sleeper of the group, that this second-round pick has been tearing it up at training camp practices, and we're probably not going to see him really unveiled until the regular season, but at least, again, a little bit more direction there on, okay, they got something with this second-round pick. Now you can see why Ryan Pace traded back up into the second round to get him. You know, same with another rookie, Javon Wims, has the big Hall of Fame game, made a couple catches, but I think he dropped a pass too in the Bengals game. Starting to show you a little bit that, you know, maybe he's more than, potentially more than a practice squad guy, but certainly almost guaranteed to be a practice squad guy. You know, you never know what you're going to get out of a seventh round pick coming into training camp, but so far, seems like Javon Wims is a guy that's showing the requisite upside that you want to see out of a seventh-round pick, a big-bodied receiver with some rare physical traits. Those are the kinds of things you take a chance on in the seventh round, and it's been a decent start for him. And then you're wondering what Adam Shaheen is going to be able to do this season in year two, what his role is going to look like. And I guess the role has yet to be answered, and maybe this is another Anthony Miller-type hidden question, but we saw in that Bengals game, Shaheen starting to look a little bit more confident, starting to feel a little bit more at home in this offense. Finally, an offensive coordinator that's willing to get him involved in the passing game, and he rewarded that confidence with, what, three catches for 50-something odd yards and making a lot of plays after the catch as well. He looks like a guy, you know, in addition to what we saw at training camp practices, that's going to be a red zone threat at the very least, that can use that body against smaller defensive backs and just go up and win one-on-one situations. And I think as we've kind of seen his development slowly come together, so too will we see his role in the offense slowly increase. That early on, it's going to be a lot of Deion Sims as that inline tight end with Trey Burton playing a lot of wing and slot wide receiver. But as Shaheen gets further along, I'm guessing he'll take more and more snaps from Deion Sims, and maybe we'll see Matt Nagy unveil some, I don't want to say special packages or necessarily even special plays, but maybe certain route combinations that fit Shaheen well and put him in a more advantageous position to be successful. You know, we know Nagy likes to get tight ends involved in the passing game, and Deion Sims, well, he's not quite cut out for that. Adam Shaheen, much more so. Then defensively, you know, the big question mark was, and still I think is, the Bears' pass rush to some extent. But I guess the question marks are less, what do the Bears have in these players? And they have kind of transitioned more to, okay, how are these players all going to come together? And which of these players is going to be the ones that can potentially emerge? I mean, I guess the question mark is still Aaron Lynch, because he's been hurt for most of training camp, but maybe that's answering the question in and of itself. That the question was, is Aaron Lynch going to be a real contributor for this team? And his multiple injuries already in, you know, 4 summer months with the teams suggest that no, Aaron Lynch can't stay healthy still, and his problems from his time in San Francisco are still lingering here with the Bears. So maybe that's a little bit more of a question answered, although we haven't been able to really answer the on-field question there for Lynch. So there's some give and take there, but Floyd, you know, taking the right steps forward in his injury recovery. Sam Acho, still the same Sam Acho. Kylie Fitz struggling a little bit when it comes to the running game and not consistently showing a diversity of pass rush moves, maybe starting to give us a little bit of a clearer picture of what he's going to be just yet. You know, I think there was some hope that he'd be this diamond in the rough 6th-round pick that's ready to step in and contribute year one as a rookie. And I think maybe that wasn't a fair expectation, and, you know, certainly not everyone was expecting that, but, you know, the hopes there maybe were a little bit too high, and we have to remember that this is more of a developmental edge rusher prospect, a guy that hasn't played a lot in the last couple of years, even though he had shown a lot of the, you know, important tools and skill sets to be potentially good at his position. You know, he just hasn't been able to be on the field consistently enough. And when you're missing practice and you're missing games, you're not getting better. You're kind of staying the same. So he's still going to need some time to get better. But we saw Isaiah Irving start to flash a little bit more. Kasim Adebali kind of came out of nowhere in the last game, and still to be determined on both of those fronts, and still really to be determined how much the Bears' pass rush is going to affect the defense. But at least we have a clear picture now, and we've learned a little bit more about these unheralded pass rushers on the team and the real question marks at the outside linebacker position. We've also picked up a little bit more on Nick Kwiatkowski and kind of what's going on there, and maybe this Roquan Smith situation is actually clearing the way for Kwiatkowski to start week one. You know, the question was, well, what's going to become of him? You know, the 4th-round pick who has looked pretty good when he's filled in as a starter all of a sudden gets buried behind Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan. Then they draft Joel E.A. Booneyway. Is Nick Kwiatkowski just destined for the bench and special teams? And no, you know, we saw through weeks of training camp practice that he's ready to continue his growth and look more and more like a starting caliber inside linebacker. And, you know, wasn't phenomenal against the Cincinnati Bengals, but wasn't terrible either. Just, you know, more of a typical Nick Kwiatkowski performance, but certainly did a lot to bolster his standing on the team and perhaps his long-term future with the team as a future starter, especially when Danny Trevathan starts to get a little bit older and continues to have some injury history that comes back up each season. I mean, we're seeing some progress here defensively. Even if we haven't totally answered the biggest unknowns, we at least have some more clarity on where this team is headed and where this defense is headed from a pure direction and path forward standpoint. Of course, there's still plenty more that we need to figure out about this Bears team as they get through preseason and get ready for week one against the Green Bay Packers. Hope you'll keep it locked here on Locked On Bears all throughout the rest of the preseason and the regular season. We'll keep you up to date on the latest and greatest on the Chicago Bears and bring you some more of that daily podcast analysis I know you've come to expect from this Locked On Bears show. Hope you're subscribed on whatever app it is you choose to use. Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, your smart speakers, you name it. Locked On Bears is there, and I hope you'll be there all throughout August. We got you through those dull, footballless summer months. Now that we're here, we can enjoy there being live Chicago Bears action every week. back on your television. You know, it really just makes you want to sit down, stand up, scream, shout, and bear down.